Hey, welcome on in. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Peter King will join us today. Peter, for our weekly visits, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the Monday morning quarterback. Peter King joins me every week. I'm going to switch up with Peter a little bit. We talk a ton of Cardinals, and we'll do that as they get ready for Detroit, who got screwed last night, by the way. But I do think it's time to have a discussion about DraftKings. I do think it's time to have a discussion about these fantasy football sites and Peter's view of it and how it plays into the NFL, because there's been some controversy now about maybe insider trading, and is this just a deck of cards that's waiting to fall apart? So I want to talk to Peter about that, because we're all things NFL. And I don't think Detroit is a bad 0-4 team. As they play the Cardinals this Sunday, that loss by Detroit last night was just devastating for them, but they're not a terrible team. Miami's a bad team. How Miami's won a game, how Miami beat Washington, I have no idea. But I think for the Cardinals, you would have liked to have seen Detroit win that game and obviously help out within the division. So we'll talk with Peter King about all things considered. There's a ton of college football going on. It's a huge day in baseball. Look, the wild card for me and for anybody who's a sports fan at all, like, Eric, are you going to check out the wild card tonight, Yankees-Astros, or
sure.
Is it just off your screen?
Yeah, this is a time where baseball ramps back up to the top of my priority list as we get into the fall.
Tomorrow, when the Cubs play the Pirates tomorrow, and it's one game, and I'm so fascinated by what Joe Maddon has done with Chicago, I will be watching tonight. I've got things I've got to do tonight. I actually have a movie screening, that new Tom Hanks movie. I'm thinking of blowing it off to watch. Yeah, it looks good, but I'm thinking of blowing it off just to watch Astros-Yankees. You know, that's something else.
Have you seen Sicario yet?
I have not.
Oh, it's very good.
Is it?
Yeah, it's real good.
Yeah?
Sorry, I don't want to get off topic here, but
no, but we talk movies all day.
Now that we're on the movie subject.
No, it's fine. I did not. There's certain movies, like I'm holding out for Spectre. It's 2 weeks away because I'm a Bond guy. In fact, I have people that are sending me stuff about Bond movies and all that stuff, and it's great. Keep it coming. I don't need Star Wars, just so you know. I'm good. I'm one of those guys, like last night, I'm watching the Monday night game, and it was a little slow in the second quarter, so somehow I found my way over to Mission Impossible, and I didn't go back for a while. But I did see the end of the game last night, and the end of the game, there's just so many things that you look at and say, how is it that the NFL can have officials like the ones that crapped the bed during the Cardinals game on Sunday that ruled that it was not a fumble and it was not reviewable? That was a bad call, a really bad call, and a call that changed the game at that point in time. Bruce Arians and the Cardinals got hosed on that one. Last night, Calvin Johnson, about to cross the goal line, very typical Detroit. If you're a Lions fan, you know that every year they talk about this is going to be the year, and then your team just finds a way to soil themselves. You just find a way to do things that are just so Detroit-esque. And if you're a Lions fan, you get mad at me about that stuff. Am I right? I mean, please. He's about to cross the goal line. And Cam Chancellor, who I think Seattle might want to pay $1.25 more to, if that's what he wants, he gets the ball knocked out. But then the ball gets punched out of the back of the end zone, and clearly punched out of the back of the end zone. And it should have gone back to Detroit at the one-inch line. And instead it doesn't, and Seattle wins the game in spectacular fashion. They've won 10 straight Monday Night Football games. And we're left here in Arizona today saying that would have been a loss, a home loss, not a divisional game, but a loss nonetheless. Would have helped the Cardinals out, but instead a blown officials call. And in fact, you could say that the officials cost the Cardinals. I'm so strong on the way that call went against the Cardinals that was a game changer. And the same thing with last night's call. Game changer. How do you miss calls like that when you're supposed to be at the highest of highest of highest levels? It's beyond me. And you can discipline the official. You can fire the official. Doesn't matter. It's over with now. You're the ones you have one more loss or one loss now that, in my opinion, they probably win the game the Cardinals do. And the Seahawks, when it comes down to tiebreakers and home field and everything at the end of the season, That's a game that you look back on and say that should have impacted Seattle in a negative way. And then you have the Lions sitting there at 0-4. Like, you know, Eric, if you look at Detroit, I'm watching Detroit last night. I'm not a Matthew Stafford guy. I don't see it.
Not elite, right?
Well, it's kind of like this. Could you have seen Andy Dalton performing like he's been performing this year for the Bengals? And I know it's not postseason yet because
yes.
We're expecting the total belly flop from Andy Dalton in the playoffs.
Yes, I could see it. Because if you look at, like, if you take the playoff games out and you put Andy Dalton's resume up, it's pretty impressive.
However,
then you put the playoff games up and it's beyond awful.
It's disastrous.
It's beyond awful.
But Matthew Stafford, he's kind of that same way. And then you just look at personnel decisions by Detroit. And, you know, they take Abdullah, who's got a fumbling issue. They let go Reggie Bush, which is fine. He's beat up and nicked up. Joik Bell's just a guy, in my opinion.
Yeah, and their offensive line block at all.
No. And Gruden was great last night in the first quarter. He got right into the, are they tipping plays or not? And
he was right on most of them. I did catch some of the game where he's like,
this is a run formation.
Yeah, he could just tell by, you know, when you put a fullback in front of a running back and you only have one wide receiver and it's, you know, first and 10.
This will be a running play.
More often than not, it's going to be a run.
Right.
And it was.
No, he was great.
And the stats were ridiculous. I guess Detroit only had like 150 some odd rushing yards through the first three games coming in last night.
Well, I'll tell you, Seattle wasn't all that great either.
No.
Their offensive line was not that great. And look, at the quarter poll, we'll talk with Peter in about 15 minutes about this. At the quarter poll, I think it's safe to say that the Cardinals should have some concern about their run defense. I think that is fair to say. Now, you'll say, well, look at what they did against the Bears, the 49ers, and the Saints. And I'll say, yeah, it was the Bears, the 49ers, and the Saints. At the quarter poll, the Saints might be the best of those three teams, and they probably are. It doesn't mean they're that great. Just because they beat Dallas, Dallas is all beat up. Dallas doesn't have Romo. They don't have Dez Bryant. They don't have DeMarco Murray anymore. They're beat up. So I'm not going to get all wound up about a win over the Cowboys. So what St. Louis did with Todd Gurley and just rammed it right down the Cardinals' throat in running the football is a concern. The Cardinals have six of their next eight games away from home. Six of eight. And when you look at that and the teams they have coming up, you would say, oh, Detroit, that should be a victory. They're 0-4. It's at home. They're going to be angry. I don't think they're going to quit on their coach. This isn't the Miami Dolphins thing. By the way, I heard Ndamukong Suh has been going out to practice without cleats on. So I guess if you get paid $100 million, you can just act like a fool. And, you know, it's the speech of when you want to go pursue a big-time player and when that big-time player has a $200 million contract, there's not a chance in hell that the coach can tell him what to do. And the same thing goes with Ryan Tannehill. So I know that fans love to see their team go make big free agent signings, but man, oh man, or draft guys that may be a prima donna or they can play the position to a point. I don't care who you are, coach, in Miami. You've got Tannehill and you've got Sue with contracts. You can't move. I mean, they're just done. It's a bad deal up there. Peter King here in about 10 minutes. Well, we'll take a break here. On the other side, I want a couple of extra minutes to talk about the college football thing. Because I think that for Arizona State this week, in fact, I know it. I wrote it. Some of you don't agree because you're just blind. You're seeing maroon and gold, which is what fans do. Oh, this isn't a trap game. Oh, Peter's next.
Yeah, Peter's next.
Peter's
next. See your show sheet where it says 1020-PeterKingSI.com, senior NFL writer?
I'm on a rant.
So you better get out because it's 10:17 now and we have...
Okay, Peter's coming
up. We have bills to pay. I hate when people say that, but we do.
We do have bills to pay. We have lots of bills to pay. Peter King is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to visit with Peter King, our weekly visit, the Monday Morning Quarterback, MMQB, for all of your NFL content and information. It's great stuff there by Peter and his staff. I'll get over to the Cardinals in a minute. We've been Cardinal heavy, it seems like, every week. I want to run some things by you that maybe not you, but your staff are looking at in depth. I'm getting a lot of questions, Peter, about FanDuel and DraftKings. We've had them shoved down our throats, and now there's some controversy around it. What's the NFL's stance on this and fantasy, and is there something shady going on here with these two groups?
You know, Brad, I think the NFL's view is that if the government of the United States says something is legal in X number of states, and I know it's not legal in Arizona, I think there are five or six states that it's not legal to do the weekly fantasy in football and daily fantasy in other sports. You know, but if it's going to be legal in the majority of municipalities and states in the country, the NFL is going to be okay with it. Once the NFL is told it's not legal, then they're not going to be okay with it. The biggest thing to the NFL is that it's writing a lot of the franchises in the league a huge check, and it's writing the NFL a huge check. And more than that, it's writing the networks that cover the NFL huge checks. I mean, I watched a Thursday night game a couple of weeks ago. Pre-game, post-game, and during the game, there were 19 commercials for weekly fantasy football. So I think that is where it's at right now. And the story is very multi-layered. We're writing something at the MMQB at pretty great length on Thursday about the whole thing. But the amazing thing to me about it is, Brad, that you have guys who, I mean, I guess they're like card sharks, okay, who make a living in Las Vegas and Atlantic City and whatever. But you have all these guys who, it's their full-time job, playing fantasy football, playing fantasy baseball. And it's bizarre to me that you can figure out, but they have these algorithms, they have these bots that are able to figure out how many games you should play and what your combinations of lineups should be. They play 300 or 400 a Sunday, and basically they do this and they just try to beat the odds, and a lot of them obviously are beating the odds.
If there was not fantasy football, how popular would the NFL be?
It would be 20% less popular.
Mm-hmm.
That's an absolute off the cuff. You ask the question, I answer it. But, you know, I'm in a fantasy football league with my daughters and most of her friends. So mostly girls, you know, 20-something girls. And I can just tell you that these girls, if they weren't in this league, and, you know, just it's a $50 entry fee, if they weren't in this league, I can guarantee you most of them would not be watching football on Sunday or paying attention to football during the week and looking at the waiver wire. And it's just, it's a fun thing. It's a cool thing to do, but people are competitive.
Yeah.
And they want to watch the games on Sunday to see, hey, if my guy gets hurt, who can I pick up on the waiver wire? So I wouldn't say it's the be-all, end-all, and I don't really care about it much at all. But there's a lot of people, this is the primary thing they love about the NFL. They love fantasy football.
What's interesting is you and I have been bumping around press boxes better part of 30 years. And I think now when I go to games and I see people that are junior to me, which most of them are at this point, but they care only about the fantasy game and sometimes are actually paying more attention to their fantasy game than the game that they're there to cover. It's just from a media standpoint.
That disturbs me, Brad, because I've seen that a bunch, especially over the last few years. They have their fantasy team up on their laptop, and they're talking about it during the game, and there's a game going on in front of them that, at least in my opinion, they can be watching something in that game, but they're not really doing that. They're watching stuff for their fantasy team. I don't know. It's a weird thing. Yep. I don't know how we got to this point, but we're there. And as I said, it's multi-layered, multifaceted. I think the thing that disturbs me a little bit about it all is that, you know, for this story we're doing this week, Brad, we talked to a compulsive gambling expert. He's extremely worried about it. We talked to a mom who's got 10 and 7-year-old kids who can't wait to be old enough so that they can go play this weekly fantasy football because they love the NFL. So I don't know. Is that a good thing? I'm sure the NFL would say the burgeoning interest would be a good thing. I'm not sure that the gambling aspect of it is so good.
Yeah. You remember Chet Forty. I worked with Chet at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with Chet, and I picked up the phone more than a couple times when we were doing radio together out in L.A., and it was, tell Chet he's got till 5 o'clock to pay up, click.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
I've seen that destroy people's lives, and that's a whole other topic for another day. I want to talk about another disturbing topic, and that is you have a referee standing right there on the field in Seattle, and a ball gets batted right in front of him, and they can't figure it out that that's a batted ball. I mean, and today...
Brad, here's the thing that bothers me most about that call, okay? So I was just getting ready to go to bed. I don't sleep very much on Sunday night, so I'm exhausted, and I watched this play. And then I look up the play in the digest of rules. And when you look up the play, the rules say that any batting of a ball when you're in the end zone is a violation. And it doesn't have anything to do with, like, when Dean Blandino came on NFL Network and he said the back judge said that he didn't feel like it was overt batting of the ball. Well, it doesn't say anything about that in the rules.
Yeah.
All it says is you can't bat the ball. He clearly batted the ball and punched it out of bounds. So K.J. Wright committed a penalty, and that official, the back judge, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, he swallowed the flag. He didn't make a call that is in the rules that he should have called. And don't tell me that you swallow your flags at the end of the game. That's bogus. That's not right. And they get marked down for it. And this guy... will not only get marked down for it. I mean, this is the kind of play call that is going to really, in my opinion, hold sway over whether this guy returns in 2016 or not. This back judge, it was a terrible call.
Peter King with us for a couple of minutes now as we talk about the Cardinals and looking ahead towards Detroit. The Seattle game last night, that call at the end that was not made has Cardinal fans furious because it should be a loss for Seattle at home. So that one play impacts Cardinal fans immensely.
Not only that, but if you think about this mentally, what kind of team are you going to see in Detroit on Sunday? The team that is basically going to be acting all week like our season comes down to Sunday. Nobody's ever gone 0-5 and made the playoffs. There is absolutely no way we can lose this game and have any hope for the rest of the season. Conversely, you've got the Cardinals basically saying, you know, look, we got steamrolled a little bit by Gurley in the fourth quarter. That is not happening again. Bruce Arians will have that team ready to play. And, you know, to me, this two-game little Midwest Eastern road trip, Rust Belt road trip at Detroit, at Pittsburgh, this is a real, real challenging stretch for a team that historically has never been a good, East Coast, Midwest road team. And so this, to me, this is a very, very big few days.
Well, and I'll take it a step further. 6 of the next 8 are on the road. And
wow.
when you look at that and the ability that the Rams and Todd Gurley had to run the football on the Cardinals... Yeah, we didn't see any of that from
that. That was really bothersome. That was bothersome to me.
I mean, we didn't see any of that, obviously, out of the Saints or the Bears or the 49ers, because those three teams, up until the Saints the other night against Dallas, they weren't any good. So now is this a true litmus test of, we've got an issue here at stopping the run in Arizona. I don't know that. And I think we're going to find that out in a hurry with 6 of the next 8 on the road.
And I think the interesting thing here is that, look, the Lions haven't been able to run at all. They were so high on Ameer Abdullah before the start of the season, and he just never has a lane. That's good. I mean, to me, I think that's a good sign. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, there was no Seattle had no room to breathe on the ground last night. So I think this is a game that's going to have to be won through the air. It's going to have to be won by Carson Palmer.
Is Detroit as bad as 0-4 shows?
No way. No way. I mean, obviously you and I are looking at they should have won that game last night. Mm-hmm. They should have had, with a minute 50 to go, minute 45 to go, they should have had first and goal from the half-yard line with 2 timeouts left. I mean, at the very least, they're going to kick a field goal and go into overtime, you would think. But they should have won that game. And, you know, they ought to be sitting here 1-3 today. But, hey, that's the way life goes sometimes. Life's not always fair. But I think the Lions are a capable team. They're not a great team, but they're very capable.
Peter King, the MMQB, before I let you go, we're at the quarter poll now. What do you make out of the NFC West 4 weeks in?
I make that, I mean, I thought looking at this before the season, Seattle would probably start 2-2 or at best 3-1. So they are. I thought the Cardinals would start 2-2 or I thought the Cardinals would start 3-1, which is exactly what they have done. I think that the one big wild card in this division, the huge wild card, is the St. Louis Rams. Because in my opinion, Brad, the Rams could be 7-9, they could be 11-5.
Mm-hmm.
They are a really, really interesting team. I think so much now is on the shoulders of Todd Gurley and that young offensive line. But pretty much what I expected, other than I think the Rams are the absolute total mystery of the division.
Tell you what, that front seven of St. Louis, I would take over any other front seven.
Really good.
Yeah, I mean, any other front seven within the NFC West. And I know Cardinal fans don't want to hear that, but it's just a fact. As a group, that...
Look, Seattle and St. Louis right now are an absolute total load to try to block on the front seven. You're watching last night, especially with Cam Chancellor back, and they're willing to take a lot more chances up front. This is a... The Seahawks last night, their defense said, we're back, baby.
Let you go off that, Peter. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thank you, Brad.
All right, so there's a ton of stuff going on locally today. Things that you may not think about other than getting your fantasy team updated. It's funny in talking with Peter about FanDuel and DraftKings. Where we do the show from is a bunch of dudes that are in their 20s other than Eric and myself. I mean, Jared's a pup. But Jared doesn't play fantasy football, I don't think.
Both Jareds. One Jared does, the other probably doesn't. You don't play fantasy football, do you?
Do you? No. Jared Nielsen?
No, Jared Nielsen doesn't play
fantasy. Which is fine. It's fine.
I don't play it.
Yeah, we're busy. I play, but my team's not very good. But we come into this environment, and it's a sports place where we work out. Skyview is terrific. Skyview is one of the best-kept secrets around, and there are people that are here. Ken Thiel's one of the smartest people I've ever come across. His choice of hiring people is a little questionable. There's some riffraff here, but that's fine. When they come in on Mondays and Tuesdays, all these guys are doing is trying to make their trades. That's it. I don't know how many gets any work done around here, crying out loud. So this FanDuel and DraftKings thing, it's going to pick up some steam. And in fact, even as the morning has progressed, there's been more that's come out about maybe there's been insider trading. So, you know, we'll see what goes on that front. On the college football scene, I'm really of the opinion that this is a trap game for Colorado and ASU. For ASU, not for Colorado, obviously, but for ASU. Colorado is still a team that ASU is better than on the field. Colorado is getting better. They have some players. They don't have much depth. But this is a game that Arizona State should win this weekend. But if they're sitting there looking at it as I am, saying they should win, and then Utah, then they're going to lose. Okay? When you're trying to figure out 18, 19, 20, and 21-year-olds, all of us that sit here, whether I'm in a press box or out in the seats, whatever, when I watch a game, I don't know a coach that can get an 18, 19, 20, or 21-year-old focused every week to play their best. There's very few. And so because of that, there's very few good teams that are out there this year in college football. We have the college football championship game here in mid-January. And right now, if I were to give you four teams or 14 teams, they're probably all about or close to the same. To me, just seeing four teams right off the top, Ohio State has got quarterback issues, but they're still Ohio State. TCU, not because Eric is sitting in here, but TCU to me and watching them play, very, very good. Texas A&M to me is a team that has shown they're pretty darn good. When they play Alabama here shortly, it's going to be a hell of a game. Alabama may have the best athletes of any team that I've seen, but I don't know if they're that great offensively. You know, in the Pac-12, I think Stanford is better than everyone. I don't know how they lost to Northwestern, but they did. I look at Stanford and the balance, and they're not throwing. The deal with Stanford is Kevin Hogan doesn't need to throw the ball 35 times. He can throw it 18 to 21, 22 times a game, and they've got enough running backs. They've got enough skill talent at Stanford. USC, too erratic. Up 1 week, down 1 week. We'll know more about USC. They have Washington this Thursday night. Utah, I think, is one of those teams right now that I would say is one of the top four or five teams in the country. You want to argue with me? I don't know. They beat Michigan and beat them handily. Even though the game was at Utah, they took care of business there. Utah went to Oregon. While this isn't a great Oregon team, they still went to Eugene and just didn't win convincingly. They kicked Oregon all over the field and embarrassed and humiliated them. So I think Utah is one of the top five teams probably in the country. They have Cal this Saturday night. You know, you go through the rest of the country. Is Clemson all that great because they beat Notre Dame in the rain? I don't see Clemson being a team I'm all wound up about. And so long and short of it, this is one of those years where a team with two losses, in my opinion, there's going to be a team or two that probably has two losses that's sitting there trying to get into the playoff. Now, this is going to be a stunner to some of you, but Arizona State's not out of it yet. They're not. Why do I say that with such conviction? If you look at the Pac-12, this is a conference where they're just going to eat each other all year long. Like every week, you're going to see games that you would say, that was a surprise. I didn't see that coming. Oh, this team, you know, this last week, if I would have told you UCLA is going to beat Arizona State, you would have said, absolutely they are. If I said Arizona State's going to beat UCLA, you'd say Homer, you're on the Kool-Aid and all that stuff. And so Arizona State wins. And I thought they won convincingly. It was a close game till the Ballage touchdown, but I thought they won convincingly. For those of you that want to throw dirt on Arizona, knock yourself out. Sun Devil fans get really sensitive when I bring up Arizona and don't throw dirt on them yet, but deal with it. You know, their schedule the next 4 weeks is not that difficult. It's not. And so if you take away Scooby Wright and you take away Anu Solomon and you take away those same caliber of players off any team, you could even say when Arizona State didn't have Kalen Ballage, they didn't have a running attack. Yeah, that was a big blow to them. Well, I don't know. U of A didn't have Anu Solomon for a half against UCLA. But U of A's defense couldn't stop him because Scooby Wright wasn't right to try to play through it. In the next month, U of A has Oregon State at Colorado, home to Washington State, and at Washington on Halloween night. Four games that you look at on paper and say, I think they're better than Oregon State. Oregon State, new coach trying to figure it out. I think they're better than Colorado, even the game is up at Boulder. I think they're better than Washington State. That game's in Tucson rather than going up to the Palouse. The game at Washington, they're probably pretty equal. But if that game in 3 weeks, you may have Scooby right back along with Anu Solomon. And you may have been able to figure some things out. So if Solomon's over his concussion and Scooby gets back out on the field for the first part of November after that four-game stretch, Oregon State at Colorado, home to Washington State, and at Washington. When those four games are done, U of A plays at USC. Now, I'm saying on U of A is throw all the dirt on them you want. I'm not doing it. Let's just see where they are here in a few weeks, and if they get some people back, and why these nitwits that don't think that they don't, it's not impacting them because they don't have a bye. You're delusional. It's just delusional. If you don't have a bye week, it's going to hurt you. It just is. There's going to be that game where you're flat. There's going to be that game where you have injuries. So I think that the story here is, from my view, I'm not discounting ASU or U of A in the Pac-12 South yet. Are you, Eric? Am I right on this or am I off?
I'm not discounting them, but health is my number one concern.
Sure, but in terms of just pure talent.
No, I'm not discounting them. Because you're right, everyone's going to eat up everyone else. I don't necessarily agree with your take that there might be some two-loss teams that make the playoffs, but because I just can't see in certain leagues, I can't see either Baylor or TCU having more than one loss. I just can't see it happening.
Them losing to each other.
Right.
Yeah. What you're suggesting is they're only going to lose one game, either Baylor or TCU, and that's just to each
if
other.
Honestly, I think Baylor's better than TCU, but if it comes down to, you know, Baylor's undefeated going into the last game and TCU beats them, I still think a one-loss Baylor might get in over a two-loss Pac-12 team.
But if you look at the rest of the Big 12, there's some games that still have to be played. Not many.
Sure.
Not many.
Oklahoma looks like they're
Bill Snyder's doing his thing again at Kansas State.
It's not going to be easy for TCU Saturday. A night game in Manhattan. It's not going to be easy.
But that, and that's my point. I don't even think Kansas State's ranked.
They're not. They're not.
And they, how many games have they lost?
One.
So, and I think they're pretty good.
I mean, the Big 12 gets beat up, and I 3 weeks ago said, oh, this conference is garbage, but you've got TCU and Baylor in the top five. You have Oklahoma in the like 12 to 15 range.
By the way, Oklahoma's starting wide receiver is a kid named Mark Andrews from Desert Mountain who didn't stay home.
Correct. He's pretty good, too. He's having a big year for a redshirt freshman.
And the wide receiver at Texas A&M is Christian Kirk, who didn't stay home.
That's correct.
And the running back at UCLA is Paul Perkins, who didn't stay home.
And did you see what's-his-name caught a touchdown for Oregon on Saturday? The kid... The wide receiver, his name escapes me.
Not Devin Allen.
No, he was at Mountain Point a couple of years ago.
Oh, Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown caught a long touchdown against.
And he didn't stay home.
No, he did not. No.
And I was around some big cigars yesterday.
And Wisconsin cleaned up on some of the better linemen in the state.
Wisconsin just came in and said, "Why would you guys want to go to Arizona State or Arizona?" So the slot was it last Thursday? I think it was Thursday.
Two in the span of an hour.
Yeah, they just, and I, you know, what I got was, well, there are family ties. Da, da, da. It doesn't matter to me. They said no again. Rowe, the tight end up at Boise State, saw him catch a couple touchdowns against Virginia. Now, I know it's Virginia and they're awful, but there's another kid who just decided, I don't want to stay in Arizona. I know that Todd and Rich talk about wanting to close the borders and convincing kids to stay at home, but I think it's too late. It's too late. When you see Quaylen Cunningham starting on the defensive line for Texas A&M.
Had a fumble recovery on Saturday, by the way.
And he decided to leave the state.
He did.
When you go around and see all these kids, the wide receiver is up at Colorado this week, who is at Chandler. He's, why am I blanking on his name? But there's all these kids. And it's too late, I think. I don't see a coach coming in here and just saying, we're going to get all of them. You can't tell me that the wide receiver depth at ASU this year, there isn't any. I mean, they were looking for transfer wide receivers. Lucian came in as a transfer very late. You know, the other kid's a track kid. Well, I'm blanking on his name. But the facts are, when you look at all the talented wide receivers that have left here, I think both U of A and ASU could certainly use some of them. And, you know, fans don't want to hear that stuff. They want me just to say, it's like I'm supposed to be Fox News and just say, well, this is, everything's great at Arizona State. Well, no, it's not. Or everything's great at U of A. No, it's not. I mean, the two of them aren't out of it yet this year. But
Tim White is who you're referencing.
Tim White, yeah. Tim White, he's a track kid.
Yep.
Thanks for helping me. I blanked on him. But I'm bullish on where we are in college football in this regard. I think that the title game is not going to be the expected participants. I think most everyone's thinking like Alabama, Ohio State. I don't know about that this year. You know, Michigan is sitting there with one loss and they get better and better and better. Who would have thought Michigan Northwestern would be a game that people would care about? And it is this week. On the other side, there's some basketball news in town. Could it be that Hillcrest Prep, the Marvin Bagley Academy, is adding yet another player that's a big-time recruit? That's on the other side. Plus some other things on my mind on a busy, busy Tuesday. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Don't forget our TV show. It's on Fox Sports Arizona, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ. It is Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays at 6, 10, and 1 a.m. for your DVRs. We're back with more after this timeout. So Eric has been telling me about this Steph Curry video from last night. What is this?
I know this just popped up on my Twitter timeline this morning. I guess the Warriors were playing the Raptors. I didn't even know like preseason basketball had even started yet, but apparently it has.
Yeah, like the Suns start tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Shows you how much I've been just in like complete
football world.
Football mode.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, this was kind of making the way around Twitter, and so I guess I'll just play this, and then we can react and just talk about how ridiculously talented this guy is.
So. All right, let's see this. So he's in transition. Oh.
He goes down low to Green, who kicks it back to Curry. Now watch this. The ball is in flight. Curry knows it's good. He's already set to high five with Andre.
He's high fiving Iguodala.
The ball basically came out of his hand for like a second, and he's like, "Yeah, it's good. Just give me a high five."
That's good. That's good. Yeah, if you got one more time. So. Yeah, he's pretty darn good. He's so much fun to watch, and this is preseason. That's the best part of this. Like, you're paying money to go watch this. So, of course, as soon as he shoots it, hey, man, let me high-five you. That's great. That is good.
Like, Iguodala is, like, watching the shot go up, and he's, like, not looking at Curry for the high-five, and Curry's like, yeah, it's good. Just
hey, come on, dude.
High-five. I know it's good.
Don't
trust
me. Hanging.
The second it left my hand, I knew it was good.
Don't leave me hanging. So... you remember when Marvin Bagley left Corona del Sol and how we did a whole big show on that?
Yes.
Because we got to circle back to basketball at some point. You know, Arizona State and U of A fans think Marvin Bagley is going to go play college basketball for them. Here's the thing. Marvin Bagley is not going to go play college basketball. Marvin Bagley, as I'm sitting here right now today, I firmly believe, is going to play at Hillcrest this year, maybe next year, because he's only a sophomore. And then he's going to go to China, and they're going to pay him $1 million, and I'm not joking on that. And they're going to put a logo across his jersey, and then he's going to come back and turn pro. That's how that's going to go. That's going to be the new trend. I've heard that from too many people, and it's already starting to happen. That why do I even need to finish high school? If I'm going to get $1 million, I can go take classes online. I can go over to China, and I have to pretend by saying, well, I'm going to go be a one and done at this place or that place. Same thing with Thon Maker. You know, Karpman may disagree with me on that. I'm hoping to have Chris on here in the next couple of days, but that's a new trend. So, you know, yesterday there started to be some chatter about another player, DeAndre Ayton, who's a kid from Balboa Prep in San Diego. We wrote about him back in, I think, March on the site. He's a phenom from out in San Diego. And Sean Miller was one of the few that's actually been to the gym to watch him play. And I get word this morning that Ayton is enrolling or is going to enroll. He hasn't done it as of yet. He may have done it when the show started over at Hillcrest. Guys, if you're a basketball fan at all, if you like to watch hoops, you're going to want to go see Hillcrest Academy play this year. Whether you like the Academy stuff, and their director of basketball was at Westwind Prep. When I say Westwind Prep around people that follow basketball, when I say it to Eric, he's like, oh, the place I drove to go do a story and it was closed and there were no lights on. Yeah, that same Westwind Prep. So there's going to be some skepticism. That's just the way it is. But this kid is now coming over, reportedly, we'll see, because Finley's trying to get him to at the last minute. But he wants to play alongside of Bagley. So you'd have two 6'10 sophomores together. Now, they cannot play against high school teams here in our state. The AIA will not allow that. They are in the same tournament. They're in the Hoopall Classic, which is in December, with all these great high school teams in Arizona. And Bobby Hurley's dad is bringing out a team from St. Anthony's to play in this tournament. And it's my understanding Corona will play against St. Anthony's, which will be a lot of fun. I'm one of those guys, when it's basketball season, I will go home and see my wife and my 10-year-old and get stuff done. And then I will say to them, do you guys want to come with me? I'm going out to a gym tonight. I'm going to gyms. I will show up when I see a kid. I'm a hoopaholic. I am willing to admit openly and freely that I have a problem. My problem is I cannot get enough of basketball. I love football. I love soccer. I love baseball. It doesn't matter. But give me a good story on the basketball court or give me a player that I need to go see. And then I'll take this a step further. And this story is actually kind of sad about Arizona high school basketball. So there's a kid named Marcus Shaver who is at Notre Dame, or at St. Mary's, I should say. It's St. Mary's. And he was very talented, a very talented guard, in my opinion. There was the Alex Barcelo at Corona. There was Howard out at Perry, and there was Shaver over at St. Mary's. Well, Howard left Perry to go up to Findlay. He did the Nick Johnson route. Shaver decided that he was going to leave St. Mary's. And it's really too bad. I said at the time, I'd like to see these kids stay here. But guys, here's the message for you. And if you are the crazy dad that wants to take your kid and run them all over the system because you think they're going to go to the NBA, and I don't know if that's the case with the Shaver story or not, but this is how it can go for you. The kid left St. Mary's in March. He's now on his fourth high school since March. Four. And none of them are here in Arizona. He went from St. Mary's to Prime Prep, which is Deion Sanders' school, prep school, that closed. Then he went to Texas Prestonwood Christian High School. That's gone. Or he left there, whatever. And now he's at Trinity International in Las Vegas, which I mentioned to Eric this morning because Eric and I follow this stuff pretty closely. Have you seen Trinity International? No. My daughter goes to Trinity Christian in Chicago. I've never heard of Trinity International in Vegas. I've heard of Findlay. But he's on his fourth high school. That's a lot of luggage tags for a kid who's only a junior in high school to go through. And when you think that you can just bounce from school to school to school and find your way and find your, when I hear this, well, he just needs better competition to get him ready for the NBA. Like in Bagley's case, I'd rather see Marvin Bagley at a Corona del Sol high school football game. I'd rather see him go interact with his friends because I heard he was very popular on campus. But instead it's, nope, we got to send him to a prep school because, or academy or whatever you guys want to call this stuff now. He could still do the high school thing and take his test and get out early and go make his money over in China or wherever it is he's going to go. So that's on my mind today, too. I know we're in dead set football season, but there's some interesting basketball stuff going on. And I espouse my beliefs a little further on sports360az.com this morning. I had 200 words in me and I just started banging away and talked to a few people and yeah, I'm going to go see Hillcrest play at some point. They're going to play every junior college in Phoenix because they can't play any high school teams. And they're going to go play Findlay, and they're going to do that whole circuit. And they may show up on ESPNU a couple times. It doesn't mean a kid should go there. But I'm going to go out and watch. You know, I think I'd rather go over on their campus and just take a tour. Because there is something about this that is a game changer for Arizona. I care about Arizona. Okay, I care about Arizona high school ball, and we lost three really good players, in my opinion, that didn't have to get out of here because they didn't want to be in the high school system anymore. It's too bad. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now, including Michael Fabiano's Fantasy Focus, Week 5, Volume 1. Great content there for you fantasy football fans. I'm Brad Sussmat.